Well, the summer is almost upon us. Some of us can hardly wait, right? One season is nearing its end and another one's about to begin. Life is full of seasons and then transitional periods between the seasons. And I don't just mean the four seasons we generally equate with the weather patterns. Or the three this year. It seems like we went straight from winter into summer. The school year is nearly over. Graduations have already occurred. And my children and many others are about to begin their last week of school for this year. See, this season is coming to a close. And a new season is coming. The summer months are a brief respite, like a transitional period, but a new school year will just as soon be upon us. This season may be drawing to an end, but the journey is far from over. In just a few short months, the children must continue their educational journey. Teachers may have a brief respite, too brief if you ask them, but soon they will continue their mission of nurturing a new classroom of young minds and hearts. For other professions, such as farming, the seasons run on a different schedule. Now, the work never ends, but the intensity of the work ebbs and flows with different seasons of planting and harvesting, calving, and more. And though the seasons come and go and change, in reality, the work never ends. It's not a relay, it's a marathon. In life and in work, we're in it for the long haul. Sometimes physical realities mirror the spiritual realities of life, and this is one of those times. The Christian life, too, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. Both in the church and in our personal courses of ministry to the Lord, we run through seasons. The seasons change. The ways that we serve may transition at times. The intensity of our labors for the Lord may ebb and flow with the seasons, but the work never ends. For those of us who belong to the Lord and have been gloriously saved through faith in Jesus Christ, we have been delivered from the burden of laboring to earn righteousness. But we have not been freed from the obligation to labor. Instead of laboring for our own reward, we've been commissioned and privileged to labor for the kingdom of God. We're on a holy mission. But because that mission is a marathon, but because it's a long haul, we need strength for the mission. Amen? In our scripture lesson for today, we'll see some truths not only about our need for strength for the mission, but also some guidance about where and how we can draw strength for the mission. I believe this word today will be a blessing to us as we look at it, perhaps more deeply than we have before. I know that I, for one, have been guilty in the past of just reading through this passage as though it were of little consequence to me. But as I've wrestled with it in preparation, I have found both challenge and comfort in it. And I believe the Lord will do the same for you as you wrestle with it today. See, every word of Scripture is profitable unto us. Every word. Equipping us for the work of ministry. And so today, perhaps, we'll find in it what we need to give us strength for our mission. So will you join me in reading from the 14th chapter of the book of Acts, beginning with verse 21 and concluding the chapter. And as you turn, I ask that if you're able, would you stand out of reverence for the reading of the Word of God while I try to get my mic just right. So again, this is Acts chapter 14, beginning with verse 21, reading through verse 28. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God." So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. Now when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Let's pray. Almighty Father God, we give you thanks for your word today, Lord. Your word is your revelation of yourself. It is the guidebook for life. It is the way that you show us yourself, but also show us the way that you would have us to go. So, Lord, speak through your word this morning. Lord, beyond the words that I can say, Lord, through your Spirit, speak to each one of us. Give us the word that we need to hear that would transform us and make us more like Christ today. And, Lord, as we recognize that the ministry to which you call us is a long haul, Lord, may we find strength for our mission today through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. All right, so last week we left off with Paul and Barnabas in the city of Derbe, in the region of Lycaonia. After preaching in Antioch and then being expelled, they traveled to Iconium and preached there until threats were made on their lives. Then they went to Lystra, where they were first worshipped as gods for the mighty work God did through them, but soon troublemakers from Antioch and Iconium riled the citizens so that they dragged Paul out of the city, stoned him, and left him for dead. It's a little bit understated to say that Paul and Barnabas have had a rough time on this missionary journey. The road has not been easy, but they have been faithful through it all. And still, even after being stoned, Paul doesn't quit, but rather heads to Derbe and preaches there. Now, we don't read of any misfortune or hardship there. Rather, we only have an account of their successes. They made many disciples there, the Bible says. Many in Derbe believed the gospel and were saved, and Paul and Barnabas taught them. But the Bible tells us that after this, Paul and Barnabas realized that this season in their ministry was nearing an end. The Lord was about to let them go home for a bit. But in order to go home, they had to do some housekeeping as they returned the way that they came. We're told that they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, all of the cities where they'd been mistreated and had encountered violence. Why in the world would they go back? How bold must one be to waltz right back into the city where the people stoned him? Or to go back to the cities that plotted against him and expelled him? Still, it was important that they do so. You see, despite the difficulties they faced in these cities, the Lord had still used them to bring many to the Lord for salvation. There were Christians in these cities, immature and uneducated in the faith, and they needed nurturing, even if it meant walking back into dangerous territory. Now, we may not regularly walk into dangerous situations, but we're all generally familiar with the desire to do a final checkup on things before we leave for a while, right? I don't know everyone's habits, but I would guess that many of you have similar practices to mine and Jessica's. Anytime we're going to leave the house for a time, whether for a vacation, a camp, a conference, whatever it may be, we have a bit of a ritual. There's the packing checklist to be sure that we have everything that we need. Then after we pack the car, we still make one last walk through the house to make sure everything is in order. Is the water off? Are the lights off? Does the cat have food and water? Is the litter box clean? Did we reset the thermostat? Is the refrigerator door closed? So on and so on. We check these things. You do the same, don't you? We want to make sure that the things that are valuable to us are well cared for in our absence before we leave, and that nothing will fall through the cracks. Well, this is what Paul and Barnabas did. These new converts were precious to them. They're precious to the Lord, so they ought to be precious to the people of God. Before leaving them for a time, Paul and Barnabas wanted to check in with them to be sure everything was in order. After all, these new converts had just begun their mission. They'd just recently been born again. And with that, they received the same great commission that all disciples have, including us. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Paul and Barnabas, well, after what they'd been through, they were well aware of the challenges of this journey. And the new converts, they were just beginning, so they wanted to be sure that they were equipped and strengthened for the journey. So they strengthened them by encouraging them to continue in the faith. And that word to continue means to persevere, to hold fast to, or to abide by. See, our Christian faith is not a one-time profession. It's not a club that we join one time and have lifetime membership with no further obligation. Through salvation, we enter into a relationship with the Lord. Like any other relationship, it's one that we must work to cultivate and nurture so that it may grow. Jesus calls himself the vine and his disciples the branches and encourages us to abide in him. We must remain connected to the vine. Though dry seasons may come and though weeds and thistles may attempt to strangle our connection to the vine, we must persevere and hold fast. This was a needed word of encouragement from Paul and Barnabas. They reminded them, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. In the Greek, the literal translation is closer to, it is necessary that by way of great trials, one enters the kingdom of God. Now, friends, I believe that every word of Scripture is true. Do you? So about three of us do. We'll work on that. I believe every word of Scripture is true. There are false teachers in the world today that will try to tell you that a life of faith is an easy road because Jesus wants everyone to be happy, healthy, and prosperous at all times. If you don't experience these things, they imply, then that's because you don't have enough faith or because you're being punished. Often, perhaps, for not giving enough to their ministries and thereby sowing your seed of faith. Don't listen to these heretics. Don't give them even an ounce of credibility. Even a partial lie is still a lie. The Christian life is not meant to be easy. Joyful, yes. Blessed, yes. Easy, no. Jesus never promised clear skies and an easy road to hoe. He did promise that he would be with us through whatever we may face. And friends, that is even better. Paul here says that not only will trials and hard times come, he says it's necessary for us to endure them as we enter the kingdom. And he's not alone in that. James, the brother of the Lord, says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And in that context, patience is best understood as perseverance or endurance. Peter says in his first letter, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself tells us in John 16, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. All this is why new converts needed strengthening for their mission. And it's why we all need strength for our mission today too. Whether you're a relatively new Christian or if you're mature in the faith, this is why we need the church. This is why we so desperately need the regular assembly. Yes, it's true that you can worship God in spirit and in truth, even out on your boat or in nature. And yes, you can listen to sermons online anytime. In fact, you can hear much better preachers than me online. But what you cannot receive privately or online is the strengthening and the encouragement that comes from gathering with brothers and sisters in the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, on a regular basis. You don't get that at home. Each week when we leave this place, we go out on mission. Every day we go into the world as an ambassador for Christ. Whether we intend to or not, if we belong to the Lord and bear His name, then we are on mission. Even in our homes. The days may often take us to the same old places, but every day is filled with new opportunities, new avenues for witnessing for the Lord and for ministry in His name. Some days will be hard, and others will be rewarding, but every opportunity requires the energies of wisdom, discernment, and strength. See, every day we're on mission and we need strength for that mission. We draw that by coming back to where we've already been, to the Lord's house. Here, we have opportunity to strengthen one another, to encourage one another, to bear one another's burdens, to pray for one another, and to say to one another in difficult seasons, hold on, keep the faith, the Lord is with you. Here we are reminded by the Word of God that it's necessary that through challenging seasons we enter the kingdom of God. That's a hard truth, but the comfort in this truth is that while it is indeed challenging and difficult at times, our hope is that we will indeed enter the kingdom one day when our mission is complete. We need one another for mutual encouragement and strength. Corporate worship in the congregation is not optional for the child of God, but neither is it mandatory as though required by law. It's not necessary for your salvation. It's necessary for your life. It is vital, necessary for our nourishment and growth. If you can be away and not feel as though something is missing or that you're withering off the vine, then frankly, I would suggest that you check whether or not you're truly connected to the vine at all. But reading on, we see that there is definitely a need for us to draw strength for the mission. But we also see that the Word of God gives us some specific steps that we can take that will help us to find that strength. So we'll look at these quickly. The first is organization. In verse 23, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders in every local church. Before, Paul and Barnabas were forced to leave or to flee before the local congregations could get organized. They knew they'd been saved and they knew they had a mission from the Word of God, but they had no direction and no oversight and also no accountability. So on the return trip, almost like we check to make sure the water isn't left running, resulting in chaos when we return home. We don't want chaos to ensue. So to make sure chaos does not ensue, Paul and Barnabas appoint leaders, elders, for each congregation. Now since Paul is the one who wrote the qualifications for elders found in 1 Timothy and Titus, we can be reasonably sure that due diligence was paid here to be sure that those appointed were qualified spiritually to lead. But the principle is the same for us today. We have elders and deacons appointed within our congregation to give us spiritual leadership in the biblical offices. But more than that, we also have other leadership appointed in various committees and ministry teams within the congregation. So this is important because if it were all left to me alone, a lot of balls would get dropped and I would quickly burn out. And if we had no one in charge, if we had no organization, then who knows if anything would get done because the right hand wouldn't know what the left hand was doing. But by organizing ourselves efficiently, we prevent chaos. We all want to do good work for the Lord. But we need appropriate channels through which to channel our energies and resources. So by appointing leadership in various areas, we provide direction according to our individual spiritual gifts and leadings. And we also provide accountability one to another. We draw strength from the confidence of knowing that we are well led. There are some who try to say that such organization in the church is too much like the corporate world. But I would argue that the corporate world has taken their model from the way the Lord designed His church to operate. Organization prepares us to be more effective in our mission. So long as in our organization, we're still following our true leader, Jesus Christ, our head. The second thing we see is intentional prayer. They drew strength through intentional prayer. Also in verse 23, we see that they prayed with fasting. Now, I don't intend to get too deeply mired into the significance of fasting today, but I will say this. Fasting requires self-discipline and intentionality. Most of us don't accidentally not eat. Actually, most of us accidentally eat way more than we should. That's me anyway. But the Bible says that they prayed with fasting. That means that this was not just a pattern or ritualistic prayer offered only by force of habit. See, too often when churches or committees meet, or even in worship services sometimes, the prayers seem obligatory and cold, offered out of obedience or habit rather than born of desire. Often it might as well be that we pray, "Lord, we're thankful to be here and we're glad you're here with us. Now sit back and watch us work and worship." But in the Bible, this was prayer that was intentional. They weren't praying out of habit. They were intentionally seeking the face and the favor of God. They were crying out for guidance and help and strength. They were intentionally withholding food and physical nourishment from themselves, considering hearing from the Lord to be more vital to their survival than common sustenance. Now I have to ask, are we praying like that today? Do you pray like that at home? Is that where your heart is when we pray in this place? Are we truly seeking God? Or are we just acknowledging Him and then going about our business our way? We need strengthening. And for that, we need to intentionally seek the Lord, to wait for Him, to wait upon Him. Isaiah 40:31 teaches us clearly, "Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." The third thing that we see is that they trusted the Lord. They trusted the Lord. Once again, in verse 23, we see Paul and Barnabas commending the new converts to the Lord in whom they had believed. Paul and Barnabas trusted the Lord explicitly. And they knew that the best way they could serve these new Christians would be to let them go and entrust them to God. God would be their source of strength. They commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. They had trusted Jesus and knew the joy of His salvation. And as we read in Nehemiah, that is the true source of strength. Nehemiah 8 verse 10 says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." When we gather here from week to week, we dismiss our services with prayer. And whether spoken or not, that benediction should be a time in which we all commend one another to the Lord. We all, in a few moments, will be dismissed to return to our mission field in the community. And we all need strength for that mission. So hopefully you have found encouragement here. Hopefully you've sought the Lord here and found strength in waiting for Him. But also, we'll be strengthened as we pray one for another as we leave this place and commend one another to the Lord in whom we have trusted. For the sake of your brothers and sisters, will you commit to pray for each other as you leave this place? Will you commend one another to the Lord and trust in the Lord to provide the strength that we all need for our mission this coming week? And not just today. Make it a habit. Daily, let's commend one another to the Lord for guidance and strength, because we need Him. And no one's more faithful than Jesus. The fourth thing we see is that Paul and Barnabas did this, and we should also never miss an opportunity. Never miss an opportunity. In verse 25, we find Paul and Barnabas in Perga. Now, if you recall from a few chapters ago, Perga in Pamphylia is where they landed when they first left Cyprus. But for whatever reason of urgency, they didn't preach in Perga at the time, but headed immediately to Pisidian Antioch. Well, that same urgency is no longer in place. So this time, as they come through Perga, they take the time to preach the gospel. Keep in mind that it's not just the new converts that need strength. Paul and Barnabas are still on mission too. And even though their present season of ministry is coming to an end, the mission continues. So in faithfulness to the mission, they're intentional never to miss an opportunity to proclaim the gospel. They need strengthening too. For whatever reason that's not made clear in Scripture, they didn't have opportunity to preach in Perga the first time around, but now they do, so they preach. The mission continues. And here's the thing, just as with any other physical activity, we gain strength and stamina through repetition and practice. Perga here, it's not treated as a destination, but rather like a brief stopping point in the journey, kind of like an interstate rest area. It wasn't a destination, it was just a passing through point. And yet, even though Perga is not on the to-do list for their journey, they still welcome the opportunity to reach people for the gospel and to exercise their skills in proclaiming the gospel. And folks, we should never miss an opportunity. Even if it's just a practice, we should never turn down an opportunity to proclaim the goodness of the Lord. At our Sunday night prayer meetings, one thing we do is take time to allow everyone that desires to share ways in which the Lord has blessed or been present in our lives during the week. And I love this activity for a number of reasons. First, it's a safe place for some of us to practice testifying of God's goodness. Because we're here in friendly territory. We're in the Lord's house restoring our strength anyway. And this is an opportunity we all have to share what God has done, to proclaim His goodness, even if it's just to thank the Lord for His salvation. But second, we don't know who may need to be encouraged or blessed by the testimony of praise on our hearts. There may be a brother or sister enduring something we can't know or understand. And they're uplifted by the reminder that God is good in your life or in mine. They may be blessed by the reminder that God is faithful. And the truth is that there may be one among us who isn't truly saved. And it could be that the Holy Spirit uses that testimony, offered at what seems like just a pit stop on the road, He may use that to bring them to salvation. Friends, when the Lord lays on your heart an urge or a leading to testify, to praise the Lord, or to share the gospel with someone, never miss an opportunity. It may not be an encounter that you intend. It may not be part of what you see as your mission, but you gain strength from the practice. And you also never know how the Lord may use your obedience for His glory. Let's never miss an opportunity to witness for Jesus. Now we'll see in another chapter that we also don't need to go make opportunities that the Lord doesn't intend for us. Sometimes the Lord closes doors. But when the opportunity is there, never miss it. The fifth thing that we see is recollection. We draw strength from recollection. In verse 26, our missionaries return to their home base. After sailing and traveling through various regions, they finally returned to Antioch, the first Gentile church, the church that ordained them and sent them out. They finally returned home. And in verse 27, we see that when they arrived, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done. This is an important aspect of life among the Lord's congregation. We need to recount and celebrate what God has done and is doing among us. That's another reason that we have the praise time on Sunday nights. That's also one of the reasons I try to ask each Sunday before we dismiss if all hearts and minds are clear. Because I want you to always have opportunity to give testimony. Always to have opportunity to recount what God has done. This is why it's significant when we have the opportunity to have missionaries come and speak about the work God is doing in their places of ministry. A few months back, we had Brother Roland from Joy House Ministry in Haiti here to speak about the work God is doing through them in that mission field. Boy, what a blessing it was to hear how the Lord is moving in Haiti. See, we all draw strength for the mission from this. Paul and Barnabas drew strength from recounting the goodness of God they had seen. Notice that they didn't dwell on their own adventures or misadventures. They didn't focus on the opposition they faced, their expulsion from Antioch, the stoning at Lystra, or anything about them. The Bible says they reported all the things God had done. The souls saved. The lives changed. The crippled man made to walk. The miraculous deliverance from death. They focused on the Lord and on His work. Remembering what God has done and is doing gives us hope and encouragement regarding what God will do. And that gives us strength to continue the mission. See, not just Paul and Barnabas, but the church in Antioch also drew strength from hearing the reports. They rejoiced that God was saving Gentiles far and wide. They rejoiced that God was at work throughout the world. They rejoiced that their prayers for Paul and Barnabas were not in vain, that the calling they received to ordain Paul and Barnabas and send them out was confirmed by the work of God in and through them. That was an encouragement to everyone. And this is the kind of encouragement that we all need today too. We need to recount the goodness of God. We need to report the ways that God is working through us when we're in the mission field. And we also need to be paying attention when others report. We should watch and read the reports that come from our missionary partners and from the Arkansas Baptist State Convention and its missionary efforts. We should be celebrating what God is doing. And from that, draw strength to continue our mission, to persevere in the work and in the faith, because God is good. You can say it. I heard a little, all the time. Am I supposed to? Yeah, anything. God is good. And all the time, He is working. God is at work. And the final point we see here is fellowship. We need one another. We draw strength one from another. We need the strength of knowing that we're not alone in our labors. Verse 28, and truly all of chapter 14 ends with a simple statement. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Paul and Barnabas had been gone a long time. They went on a long and arduous journey. The Lord had been with them, and they'd seen God do amazing things. But as one season passed and transitioned into another, they found their strength renewed by their fellowship with their brothers and sisters in the Lord. Likewise, when we have spent day after day in the mission field during the week, we need the source of strength we find in the fellowship of the Lord's church. The old hymn says it well. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. See, we all look forward to heaven as the eternal rest from all of our labors and all of our trials, our rest from our mission when we'll hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But until we get there to that eternal rest, we have a little slice of heaven here on earth among the Lord's congregation. with the Lord's presence in our midst. He is here among us this morning. Do you realize that? We don't come to worship a God who is absent or far away, but where two or three are gathered, there He is right in the midst of us. We can see Him. We can touch Him in the Spirit. He is here, and we draw strength from that. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. We need one another and the fellowship we share. So as the summer comes on and as the seasons begin to transition for many of us, a lot of us will find ourselves doing new and different things in the coming weeks and months. But as children of God, the mission continues. The work never ends. In just a couple weeks, Jessica and I will begin a season of camp ministry. The church has graciously agreed that this is part of our missionary work also. It will be rewarding, but exhausting. We're going to need strength for the mission. So as we go, I'll tell you what I intend to do, and I challenge you to commit, as the Lord gives you grace, to do the same as you persevere in ministry. First, we're going to organize ourselves for the adventure ahead. If we have things together and organized, then chaos can't hinder our effectiveness. This goes for camp, vacation, or anything we do. We need to organize. But second, I'm going to pray intentionally to hear the Lord's voice and leading as we go. See, I don't want simply to acknowledge Him. I want to be led by Him. He is my shepherd. Without Him, I'll wander aimlessly. But if I follow Him, He always leads to good pasture. And then third, as God gives me grace, I'm going to trust the Lord. I'll commend my work into His mighty hands. And I will also commend you and your work in our absence to His hands. He alone will strengthen us and make us profitable for His honor and glory if we will trust in Him and commend one another to the Lord in whom we've trusted. Fourth, I'll do my best never to miss an opportunity to share the gospel. That's a couple long road trips, so it literally may be a chance encounter at a rest stop on the interstate. But more likely it will be that even though my purpose is to teach music, I may have the opportunity to witness for the Lord and share the gospel. I may never know what impact it will have, but I will, to the best of my ability, avail myself of every opportunity. Fifth, I'm going to look forward to being able to be back and report to you all the things that God has done. And I hope to hear stories from you as to what God has done in and through you as well. And finally, I'll relish the opportunity to enjoy your fellowship when we get back. I need the Lord's church. I need your love and fellowship. And the truth is, we all need one another. So I hope that you'll meditate on these things and purpose in your hearts to do what is necessary and profitable to strengthen yourselves and each other for the mission before us. Because it's a marathon, not a sprint. The work never ends until we're finally with Jesus in that glorious kingdom. We're about to sing a closing song. I know this message has been a little bit different, but the Word of God never returns to Him void. Maybe the purpose here is to transform us as we chew on it and begin to put it into practice. But it may be that the Holy Spirit is stirring or leading someone here today to respond in some way. If you need to come as we sing to obey the Lord in any way, please know that this altar is open. If you need to seek the Lord for salvation, please do so. Don't delay. Don't hesitate. Today is the day of salvation. See, whether you're saved or not, life is hard. It has its challenges. But when you belong to Jesus, He's with you through those hard times, giving strength for the journey. Would you trust Him today? Let's stand together for a word of prayer, and then we'll sing a song. Father, today I thank You for this word from Scripture. I thank you for the guidelines that we see modeled by your faithful disciples, Paul and Barnabas. But Lord, more than that, I thank you for the reminder that the joy of the Lord is ultimately our strength. So Lord, this morning I thank you for the gift of salvation. I thank you for your presence both in us, those of us who have been saved, and among us as we gather. Lord, may we draw strength today, and may we continue to draw strength in the days to come. Lord, may we commend one another to your care, to your guidance. Lord, may we be profitable through all that we do under your leadership in our work for your kingdom. Lord, give us strength. And Lord, if there be anyone here today who does not yet know the joy of salvation, Lord, they haven't even begun their journey yet. But Lord, perhaps you're drawing someone to you. By your Spirit, Lord, draw them to a place of surrender where they may, as we sang earlier, may they arise as worshipers and sing and surrender everything to the King. Lord, may today be the day of salvation for some soul. Lord, have your way among us. Lead us as you will. As we sing, Lord, just have your way in this service today. We're your people. We're the sheep of your pasture. May we follow you, gentle shepherd. Amen.